Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm your host, Jonathan Bruhl, and this morning's conversation is with Marcus Peacock, Deputy Administrator of the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency. Marcus, this year the U.S. Supreme Court decided in Massachusetts versus EPA that the Clean Air Act provided EPA the statutory authority to regulate greenhouse emissions from new vehicles. Would you elaborate on EPA's response to this decision and how it's taking the first regulatory steps to control greenhouse gas emissions for new motor vehicles determined to endanger public health under the Act?
Regardless of how one feels about climate change or climate change policy, it's a very exciting time to be at the Environmental Protection Agency. Just for this issue alone, the president called on the Environmental Protection Agency and the Department of Transportation to take the first regulatory step to draft a proposal to control greenhouse gas emissions from vehicles. That includes cars and trucks. And we will propose a regulation by the end of the year and go final with a regulation at some point next year in 2008. This is a big deal. I'm not sure people really understand that this is taking place. They certainly will once the proposal comes out. Climate change is a serious, important challenge. You know, I look at my two kids and I wonder what kind of world they'll live in. That increases the emphasis to make sure we deal with problems like this well, handle them well. And frankly, there's a huge amount going on. We've invested over $37 billion since 2001 on climate change science, on climate change research and development and activities. We have programs at EPA that are helping reduce emissions right now, including the Energy Star program and Climate Leaders program, which I'm very proud of. And those are some of the things we actually track through the management reports we were talking about earlier, Jonathan. The president has asked Congress to enact legislation that would reduce gas consumption by 20% over the next 10 years. It's called the 20 and 10 proposal. This would help climate change. The president has set a goal of increasing the use of renewable and alternative fuels by 35 billion gallons over this period, and that's an important part of reaching that goal of the 20% reduction in the next 10 years. One thing that we've learned about climate change over the past several years is we're not going to be able to lick this problem without bringing developing countries, and I'm thinking particularly of China and India, into the fold. By one estimate, recently, China now exceeds the U.S. in terms of gross greenhouse gas emissions. If they haven't exceeded us, they will soon. Now, the interesting thing is we in this country already have available a lot of good technology to reduce greenhouse gas emissions that they're not using in China. So one of the one of the programs we work on with the Department of Energy is the Asia-Pacific Partnership, and it's a way to get technology we have over here that would reduce greenhouse gas emissions into China. And the great thing about that is it's not only reduces air pollution in China, greenhouse gas emissions in China, but it's also good for our economy. The Chinese recently purchased over $50 million worth of Caterpillar diesel engines from Caterpillar to use in China. So that also benefited the U.S. economy. So it's that kind of program that we're trying to encourage and grow. Overall, I think the president is in a unique position to be able to bring all these countries together. In fact, he's called on having the 15 key countries come together to set a greenhouse gas emissions reduction target. That's the desire and hope. And the first meeting of those countries will be in late September. So it's really a historic time to be at the agency to be addressing this issue.
Federal financial management approaches are changing rapidly. OMB recently launched a new budget formulation and execution line of business, which seeks to improve budget processes government-wide. Could you tell us a bit more about this effort and specifically what role EPA is playing in this area?
Yeah, we actively support this effort. I think this is something that's very good. I don't know who said this, but it isn't me, but I've stuck in my head. But if you continue to do what you've always done – and you continue to think as you've always thought, you'll continue to get what you've always gotten. And this is an instance where we are going to change the way we're doing business. We're going to change the way we're thinking, and we're going to get something much better out of it. We've been helping OMB in this effort and helping define the requirements and the architecture that we'd like people to shoot for. And in particular, we've helped develop a decision matrix that agencies can use to evaluate their current budget formulation execution systems and shows where improvements can be made. We've also helped OMB manage the data collection process for federal earmarks. It was really a part of a team effort of a number of agencies, and we managed to get the data out, I think, in just 2 months, which nobody thought was really possible, and that was at the president's direction. The benefits of this line of business are going to be tremendous. Anybody familiar with the max budget system at OMB, which is kind of a monster under this new line of business? Max will eventually go away. It will be replaced by agencies using their own systems. The numbers and text will move seamlessly from the agency systems to over to OMB. There will be no need for reformatting. The budget exercises we get throughout the year will be much easier, be able to be performed on easily available web-based applications. And overall, it's just going to result in better collaboration across the federal government, not only between agencies and OMB, but also, I think, with Capitol Hill. We're going to have faster turnaround times. I think it'll take a lot less labor effort. And frankly, the security, I think, will also be better as we take some steps out of the process here. These are all benefits that I think will be achieved after we get this new line of business and this new system in. I think there are some challenges with some agencies in terms of being more automated and being more centralized. But once I think those changes are made, we'll see a dramatic improvement.
Turning back to the environment, EPA has worked with states to improve our nation's drinking water and wastewater infrastructure. Would you elaborate on EPA's effort in this area?
This was actually one of the reasons EPA was founded, was to try and control water pollution that was coming out of the wastewater treatment plants. Half of our budget, about $4 billion, goes to grants, and most of that is for water infrastructure. The president's committed to providing $6.8 billion from that was a commitment made in the 04 budget all the way through 2011 to get the revolving level of these water infrastructure loans to $3.4 billion, which is higher than it will ever have been before. But one of the problems with making water infrastructure sustainable is to realize this is not going to be something that's just going to be solved through more federal money. For instance, people who run water infrastructure, whether it's a drinking water plant or a wastewater treatment plant like a sewage plant, need to make sure they're running it in a way that you don't run until something breaks, but you have preventative maintenance to make the plant last longer. Water efficiency is a very important part of this picture. In fact, EPA has a great program called Water Sense, which can help people figure out ways to reduce their use of water, which, of course, takes stress off of water infrastructure. We're doing a lot more collaboration across watersheds so that as people develop partnerships within a watershed, you can figure out ways to make sure that the water in a watershed is used more efficiently and puts less stress on water infrastructure. And then finally, you know, there's a notion that we should make sure there's full cost pricing in a lot of areas of the country and innovative financing of water infrastructure, so that the price signals that people get sent and their water bills is correct. The president proposed in last year's budget for fiscal year 08 private activity bonds or water enterprise bonds, and this would be a way for counties and localities to get cheaper money to build or improve water infrastructure, and we're very excited about that proposal.
You've mentioned that over half of your agency's budget, or about $4 billion a year, goes out as grants. Yet EPA's faced challenges for many years in managing its grant system. Can you tell us what efforts are underway to enhance the overall performance of the grants management system?
Grants management, as I mentioned before, has been a material weakness, an agency weakness, for over a decade, since 1996, I think. And in 2003, we released a grants management plan, which established five goals to strengthen the oversight and also to make sure we're getting results from the grants that we send out. We've implemented that plan with top management attention. Both the administrator and myself have spent time on it. In fact, I use it as an example when I go out and give talks to the employees of things we need to improve on and where we have improved. Our goal this year is to remove grants management as an agency weakness. I'm happy to say the Inspector General has suggested that we do remove it this year. We'll know by the end of the year. But a lot of it has to do with the implementation of this grants management plan, which has provided greater oversight of the grants and also making sure that people who receive EPA grant money are doing the work necessary to provide results which are going to benefit the public.
The IBM Center recently released a report titled The Blogging Revolution: Government in the Age of Web 2.0 by Professor David Wild of Southeastern Louisiana University. Wild examines the phenomenon of blogging in the context of the larger forces at play in the development of second-generation internet. What role does the use of blogging play in your organization? Do you have any plans to leverage its social networking capabilities?
Well, that's an interesting question. I am only aware of one EPA employee who, through their work, has an active ongoing blog, and that's me. I was told I'm the first presidential appointee across the government to have an ongoing blog. Secretary Leavitt had one for about a month, I think, involving pandemic flu. It's a risky proposition, and actually I had a number of people who suggested I not go down this path and have a regular blog. But for me, there is a lot of opportunity here for the federal government to communicate to people about what it's doing. It makes it more open and transparent. But it does come with some commitments, and the first thing is a time commitment. I have a posting every Tuesday and Thursday, which means I have to make sure I produce those on a regular basis. It also has risks. I've learned a lot about blogs, one of which is no one can really edit what I write. So there's no general counsel's office review or public affairs review before something goes up on the internet. You know, that's a bit risky. But what I'm hoping is this continues, and I started it some time ago. It's been going for a few months now, is that people will see it's not as risky as it necessarily is. I've been surprised by the feedback I've gotten. I've really been overwhelmed by the number of questions and comments that have come through. I'm getting hundreds of hits now every day, which is a great sign. And so I think people are learning from it and communicating using it. And so for me, if I can demonstrate to other policy officials that this is something that's desirable and is worth the commitment, I'm hoping that more people will do it. There are other federal blogs out there. I expect that that will continue to increase, and hopefully I'll convince other people to dive in.
What does the future hold for the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency? We will ask Marcus Peacock, Deputy Administrator of the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency, to share with us when the conversation about management continues on the Business of Government Hour.